I was just sitting there thinking, when I had the cancer, in the hardest time of my life, I guess, when I was being put in the furnace, you've got to be tried as by fire, our faith does. It's just like when we go into the army or to military service, we go through a boot camp. You got to know your weapon, right? You got to break that thing down, take it apart and put it together and learn how to shoot it. Same way with the Word of God. That's our weapon. The sword of the Spirit. We've got to learn all those things. It's a funny thing that we don't get to see God until we can't do anything ourselves, and we see Him do it, and then we know it's Him, and then we know Him. We find Him when we search for Him with all of our heart. I think the Holy Spirit keeps prodding me to tell you this one little story. When I had the cancer, and I had 33 radiation treatments, I had two surgeries, and the Lord had told me this one thing when we started on the journey, cancer journey, don't get into fear. Fear is not faith. Fear is in the enemy's territory. Faith is God's territory. You can't be in both at the same time. Don't get in fear. One night, right about in the middle of the cancer treatments, I had gone to bed, my husband right beside me. It was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. My throat was swollen almost shut. I had lost all my taste buds at the time. I got them back now. Thank you. And I didn't lost the saliva glands. Things were not good for me at the moment. My spirit was soaring. My body in trouble. We know that, don't we? We have joy in the midst of hell at times. Joy in our hearts. Knowing this is who is God and it's a temporary situation. No matter what, it's temporary. It's not always going to be that way on this earth. We're leaving. We're going home. But there was a thought came to my mind. And it was not just a thought. When we think, that's just a thought. Well, no, there's powers and principalities everywhere and whispering in our ears. Just like the ladies that did those skits so beautifully today. And this thought came across my mind. You're going to die. And you're in denial. You have throat cancer. And you're going to smother to death. Boy, if you entertain that thought for just a moment. And I did. And you've heard the old saying, scared stiff. I literally experienced it. I promise that. I got so stiff, every muscle in my body locked. I felt hot, panic. But remember that old King James Version Bible I've been reading for a long time? This little still, small voice whispered in my ears, God doesn't give you the spirit of fear. Immediately identified that was Satan. So what I did, I crawled out of my bed, got on my knees. Ladies, when we're getting real trouble, how many know we can't pray these beautiful prayers like we do in front of people? I got down on my knees. I said, Jesus, I can't handle this. Will you take it from me? If you ever watch wrestling, you think, where in the world did that thought come from? I am old and I am blonde. Well, not completely. Not really old. You'll get that in a minute. But to me, when I used to watch wrestling years and years ago, just every once in a while, we never were wrestling fans, but I would watch the guy get beat to death in the ring, just beat to death. But if it was a tag team, he had a fresh man on the other side of that rope. And if he could crawl to that rope and just tap him, bam, they couldn't touch him anymore. Remember? So he would bloody and bruised, he would crawl off and the fresh man would crawl in. That's exactly what I did that night. I tag teamed Jesus. and Satan couldn't touch me no more. I crawled back up in my bed, and the Lord put me to sleep just like that. I went to sleep just like that. The next morning, I love him. He woke me with the birds singing outside my window sill. He gave me such awesome joy. I was walking across the street one night to our hotel, and I looked up in the sky, and I was so weak and broken and bruised, and I said, I love you, Jesus. He twinkled a star at me. I got plumb cocky over that one. Woo! Me! True stories. True stories. When you get to know him, really know him, and then when you know, hey, I need you now. And you know he's going to take care of it because you read it. If you can read it, you can put it in a bank. How many know the Bible's the truth? Yes. If you read it, you've got it. It's yours. Well, he never let Satan tempt me again with the fear. That's who Jesus is. That's who he is. He has all power in heaven and on this earth. And he's my best friend. I don't know about you. Is he your best friend? You think, just what do I have to do to have this kind of a relationship with Jesus Christ? We've got to seek for him with all of our heart. What's it going to cost me? Everything. Everything. Salvation's free. The rest of it, you got to earn it. Religion is what man does for God. Salvation's what God does for man. The salvation that's inside, we have to work it out. We have to work it to the outside. If we live just like the world does, they don't see you as no different. You're not going to help nobody. I'm going to the same place as the world's going. I'm not married and living with a guy who's going to listen to my testimony. Hello? Anybody with me in here? I'm all by myself. Lord, I'm all by myself. It's still the truth. Whether we believe it or not, we'll not change it at all. His word will last and stand the test of time forever. And you know what, ladies? One day when we stand in judgment, we're going to be judged by that very word that we won't obey. The word is going to judge every one of us. We've got it laying on our shelves. We've got it everywhere. We carry it in the car. We carry it everywhere. And we don't even look at it. And here's the bad thing. When we do look at it, we don't obey it because we don't fear him. So there's only a few that will actually seek him to know him, because they're not going to give up their pleasures and their life. The Bible says, Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There is a cross to carry. There's a cross. Luke 14:27 says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Romans 12:11, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Boy, that's a new word. Acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. This is a kicker. And be not conformed to this world. If you love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's not my words. Does that sound familiar? Do you love the world? Do we love the world? Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's one thing in order to get to heaven that we must do, according to the Bible, we must be born again. That's not a work you can do or I can do. That is a supernatural power of the Holy Ghost that's got to transform the heart. When that heart's actually transformed, you're going to go in pursuit of God because you're a different person now. You have the mind of Christ and you love Him and His things. You hate what He hates and you love what He loves. A lot of us are deceived today. Would you rather go to heaven with the one sitting beside of you thinking that you're saved and everything? I mean, go to hell? Or would you rather go to heaven, come on down, just shell down the corn, as my old daddy used to say, and be born again, not caring what anybody thinks except Him? He's the only one that matters anyway. How many in here believe Jesus is coming soon? We believe He's coming soon. I want to ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Do you know, beyond a shadow of any doubt, that if you died in your seat right now, you'd go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If you don't know that, you probably won't. Because the Holy Spirit comes in our heart. And He is a witness that we are born again. So what does it cost us? Everything. Mark 8:35 says, this is Jesus talking, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." That's a fact. And we're not going to get up there and say, "Well, but Lord, but well, you know, but there's not going to be none of that. Depart from me, because I never knew you." Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall be saved. Mark 1:17 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men." My life's verse, I was in a quest for many years to find out exactly what this verse meant. I didn't really know what it meant. I didn't want to ask a preacher. I wanted it to be revealed to me. When it's revealed to me, I can stand solid on it. If it's hearsay, it's not really a credible witness to me. To be a credible witness in a court of law, you have to experience that. You have to be an eyewitness to be a credible, admissible witness. That's why we go through the fire. We're a witness. I'm a witness to what He can do and what He has done. You're a witness. We're a witness. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ." Crucified means dead to this world. "Nevertheless, I live." Here I am. "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." I want you to close your eyes, if you will. Don't peek. I want to read a poem. And after the poem, I want him to play softly while you have an opportunity. Just get up out of your seat and say, "You know what? Today I'm going to begin my journey. I'm just going to go to the altar. I'm going to do like, you know, I'm just going to humble myself." Like Jesus said, God said, if my people, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll heal their land. Need your land healed? Need your family healed? Does your heart need to be transformed? That can happen right here today with all of us ladies around together, going to the throne and getting it done. Abandoned is the name of this poem. Utterly abandoned to the Holy Ghost, seeking all of His fullness at whatever the cost. The Bible says to count up the cost. cutting all the shoreliners, launching in the deep, of His mighty power, strong to save and to keep. Utterly abandoned to the sweet Holy Ghost. Oh, the sinking, sinking until self is lost. Until the emptied vessel lies broken at His feet, waiting till His filling shall make the work complete. Utterly abandoned to the will of God, seeking no other path than my Master trod. Leaving ease and pleasure, making Him my choice. Waiting for His guidance, listening to His voice. Utterly abandoned, no will of my own. For time and eternity, His and His alone. All my plans and purposes lost in His sweet will. Having nothing yet in Him, all things possessing still. Utterly abandoned, 'tis so sweet to be captive in His bonds of love, yet so wondrous free. Free from sin's entanglements, free from doubt and fear, free from every worry, burden, grief, or care. Utterly abandoned. Oh, the rest is sweet as I tarry waiting at His blessed feet. Waiting for the coming of the guest divine who my inmost being shall perfectly refine. Lo, He come and fill me, Holy Spirit sweet. I in Him am satisfied. I in Him complete. And the light within my soul shall nevermore grow dim. While I keep my covenant utterly abandoned to Him. Ladies, if you'll open your eyes, I want to give you an invitation today. I know there's many called and few chosen. He chooses the ones that say, Lord, send me, I'll go. Okay, come on. I choose you. I choose you. Is there anyone here today that wants to come and totally abandon this old world? Are you really seekers of Jesus in His heart? Or are we seeking His hand and His provision? Don't deceive yourself. Now I give you the opportunity. Will you come and bow right here? Anyone? This is recorded in heaven today. One day we'll all give an account for this day. But you're going to need Him. You're going to need Him. You're going to need Him. Thank you.